happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm the returning Ann Northrup. I want to thank Maren Johns and Chris Cooper for sitting in for me the last 2 weeks. Now, ironically, they were sitting in for me because I had pre-scheduled other things to do. But in the midst of those, I got COVID.
Oh.
So I, don't act surprised, Andy. You knew.
Just surprised that you're talking about it, but okay.
Oh, why not? I want to warn people. I have gotten through COVID. I've tested negative twice after a week after getting it. But I'm fatigued. I am tired and I'm congested. Now I feel like I have a cold. I'm sneezing occasionally and coughing and mostly just really, really weary. So if I keel over in the middle of the show, you'll know why. But my recommendation is don't get COVID.
I'm taking more precautions, but my wearing a mask mainly protects you from me. We need everybody to do it in indoor spaces, when you shop, when you go on the train and the bus and all that stuff.
I think the good news for me is, I hope I'm not going to stop wearing a mask. I will redouble my efforts. But I think this gives me some higher immunity, which is great news. And eventually I'll get the new booster, but I don't think I need that yet. And there was one other thing I wanted to say, but I have COVID brain. And if you get COVID, take Paxlovid. I got it at the same time as a colleague I was traveling with. I don't know where we got it or from each other or whatever, but she didn't take it. And she's had a rougher time than I have. And it's really, really, really important to consider taking Paxlovid to diminish your symptoms and your experience of this.
Do you just call your doctor or do you have to, can you just go to the pharmacy and get it? Or how's
that? Yeah, well, interesting. You need a prescription. I called my doctor. He immediately gave me a prescription over the phone. He didn't need to see me or anything. He called in a prescription to my local CVS. And so I'm waiting for the CVS to call me and say my prescription's ready. And I'm waiting most of the day and nothing happens. So I call them and I get a recording saying, your prescription will be filled in 48 hours. I just said, what the, you know? So then I call the New York City Department of Health and their COVID office. And they couldn't have been better once I finally got through to the person I needed to talk to, a nurse, who also was happy to prescribe over the phone. And she had a list of pharmacies that had it in stock. So that's when we found a pharmacy relatively nearby and she called in the prescription there. And Mr. Andrew Hum went and picked it up for me.
I just want you to feel better.
Me too. Thank you. But thank you for your help, Andy.
Not at all.
Okay.
All right. So first of all, happy Bisexual Awareness Week. And in the news, President Biden spoke out at the UN for LGBTQ rights and for people with AIDS worldwide this week.
And the mayor of Cleveland is taking on the Catholic Archdiocese there over its anti-LGBTQ policies.
That's the story of the week, I think.
I think so.
In a Kansas town, right-wing zealots see homosexuality in every rainbow.
They're going to be very busy. In Missouri, a gubernatorial candidate starts a fire and pledges to burn LGBTQ books.
That's how you get elected these days, I guess. A gay couple that was denied a marriage license in Kentucky by Kim Davis won a big judgment against her, but her lawyers want to use her case to overturn the rights of same-sex couples to marry at the Supreme Court.
Well, one way or another, they're going to keep going after us. Three murders of trans and gender nonconforming people to report this week.
We also have reports on sexual indiscretions of Congressmember Lauren Boebert and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem.
Just a rumor, Andy. Canada's Conservative Party has voted for an anti-trans platform.
Oscar-winning screenwriter Taryl Alvin McCraney has been named to a top arts post in L.A.
Very exciting. The New York Blood Center is now doing a publicity campaign saying they want your blood.
After all these years. Yeah. Governor DeSantis is working to spread COVID in Florida.
It's not that hard. A singer says goodbye to country music over its homophobia and transphobia.
And it is Bisexual Awareness Week. And on the 25th anniversary of Bisexual Awareness Day on Saturday, September 23rd, there's going to be an all-day Bi Plus conference at Human Rights Campaign, spearheaded by Bi Plus Organizing USA. And it's going to include Adrian Shanker, who is a senior advisor of LGBTQ health equity at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and Fiona Dawson, a co-founder of Bi Plus Organizing USA. Bisexual people are now statistically 57% of LGB adults. One in five members of Generation Z identifies as bisexual.
Well, these are all these surveys that tend to, you know, move around, and I wouldn't take it too literally, is all I would say. While also saying, as I keep quoting you and you keep denying, that 80% of all people have bisexual capacity.
Sure. But people haven't identified that way, and now they do. And President Joe Biden identified with us at the UN, we're going to give you a little excerpt from his speech when he spoke about human rights and how he integrated us.
Cannot sacrifice either. 75 years ago, Universal Declaration of Human Rights captured a remarkable act of collective hope. I say it again, collective hope. Drafted by a committee representing different regions, faiths, philosophies, and adopted by the entire General Assembly. The rights contained in the Declaration are elemental and enduring. And while we still struggle to uphold equal and inalienable rights of all, they remain ever steady and ever true. We cannot turn away from abuses, whether in Xinjiang, Tehran, Darfur, or anywhere else. We have to continue working to ensure that women and girls enjoy equal rights and equal participation in their societies. That indigenous groups, racial, ethnic, religious, minorities, people with disabilities do not have their potential stifled by systemic discrimination. That the LGBTQI plus people are not prosecuted or targeted with violence because of who they are. These rights are part of our shared humanity. They're absent, when they're absent anywhere, their loss is felt everywhere.
And he also made a pitch for PEPFAR. He said HIV/AIDS infections and deaths plummeted in no small part because of the PEPFAR work in more than 55 countries, saving more than 25 million lives. He didn't mention, of course, that it's one of the things being held up by the radical right Republicans right now.
Well, let's discuss some more details of that when we get to AIDS news. But another thing that the Biden administration is doing, announced this week, is they're getting more proactive on helping LGBTQ veterans who were dishonorably discharged. Now, for a while now, we have been told that those veterans can apply for a review of their dishonorable discharge because it really is very destructive to their lives. It gets in their way in all sorts of ways. But now the Biden administration has realized that asking veterans to apply individually is not sufficient to clear up this mess. Tens of thousands were discharged, and they've only fixed the discharges of a couple thousand. So the Department of Defense is now taking it upon itself to review all those dishonorable discharges and to be proactive in upgrading people's discharges and fixing this for their lives.
They're going to set up a website about it.
And do outreach. They're going to actually advertise to people more actively to reach out for help.
Some good news from Pennsylvania. Democrats kept control of the state House of Representatives after winning an open seat in the special election in the Pittsburgh area. Lindsey Powell won 65% of the vote. It's a razor-thin margin there.
And you mentioned last week Olivia Hill, who was in a runoff for Nashville's Metro Council, trans woman, and she won that runoff and now will be a member of the Nashville Metro Council, 57 years old and very active, and that's a big win.
And out trans Sarah McBride in Delaware, she's a state legislator there, is now leading in the polls to win the state's one U.S. House seat next year.
She is amazingly popular. She's just breezed through these elections over the last few years. And to have a young trans woman in the United States Congress is just going to blow everyone's mind. I love that.
That's great. So now let's move to Cleveland. We're going to talk about what Mayor Justin Bibb did this week. He did something rare for a public official, including Democrats, and he is one. He denounced new policies in 84 religious schools there for the archdiocese that ban LGBTQ expression, restrict certain clothing, and ban the use of pronouns or bathrooms that don't match a student's sex on official paperwork. He said, as a Christian, the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland's anti-LGBTQ policy is a shocking betrayal of church teachings that have shaped who I am today. For me, he said, faith is about universal love and acceptance. Instead, the new policy forces LGBTQ kids to hide their authentic selves and attend school in fear of persecution for who they are.
As you can see by that picture we just had on the screen for a while, he ran on an inclusive platform running for mayor of Cleveland and won. And he is bemoaning the fact that the archdiocese is now, this is not the the right-wing evangelicals. This is the Catholic Church. He says they're forcing people to hide their authentic selves, and he extends his heartfelt solidarity to the LGBTQ community that is being persecuted like this.
Well, the diocese says their policy is rooted in scripture, but as I always remind you, what the Bible says in Christ, there is neither male nor female.
Well, well, that's very progressive of them. And they claim we're inclusive.
All right. But really, it is so rare. I can't think of another politician who has taken on the church or another religious group in this way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could go back and find some examples, but this is a very bold move from a very big city mayor and a very overt confrontation with the Archdiocese, which is clearly a big organization with 84 Catholic schools in that area.
A little bit of progress. We told you about all that progress in California, although Governor Newsom has yet to sign a lot of those bills that were passed. But in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill to ban discrimination against unpaid interns based on gender identity or expression. And it does just single out that because all the other categories are already covered, including sexual orientation.
So we've been added to that.
Yes.
Okay. Just a little side note here. Those wondering what Mayor Pete Buttigieg, now Secretary of Transportation, is up to. He ran a half Ironman race in his now home state of Michigan. That's half a marathon, 13.1 miles. It's swimming, it's biking. And his husband, Chasten, was at the finish line to take this very dark picture of him crossing the line.
I think he wants everybody to know if Joe needs to step down that he's ready.
He's rested and ready, as they say.
Now, speaking of presidential politics, Trump and DeSantis trans bashed at separate religious right forums in D.C. this past week. DeSantis spoke at the Family Research Council, pledging to create new departments of conscience and religious freedom inside federal agencies and promising to put on the full armor of his God in the fight. This is getting pretty scary. Trump, always scary, spoke to Concerned Women for America, promising a rollback of transgender rights, public funding for religious schools, repeal of the Johnson Amendment that forbids tax-exempt groups from participating in political campaigns. Wow.
Well, this is an old song they're singing, and it's directed specifically at the primary voters who are the most radical. The question is, when one of them gets nominated, will the tune change as they head for office? I don't see why it should. Trump put three people on the Supreme Court who were doing this kind of stuff. But they missed a stop at the Heritage Foundation, which would have been very sympathetic. The Heritage Foundation put out a wish list, which included prison for all trans people. All. Send them all to prison. Heritage Foundation. I know, you can't make this stuff up.
Anti-LGBTQ Senator Tim Scott, 57, is aggrieved that he's getting asked about his personal life. We've talked about this, though he has zero problem in attacking ours. At the Faith and Freedom Coalition banquet in Des Moines, Scott said, there's a special lady in his life other than his mother, said she's a lovely Christian girl. He promised his God, he praised his God for bringing her into his life, but won't identify her. Scott feels discriminated against and says he's a biblical leader, not a Republican or conservative leader.
Well, here's the thing about Tim Scott. Because I've been watching a lot of the coverage on my sickbed of this whole thing about him being accused of being unmarried. And what I've noticed is that all these major news organizations are afraid to say that he is being rumored to be gay. They'll only say unmarried. And we're supposed to understand that as homophobia, but they won't say it. Even, you know, my favorite barometer, The View, they sat around for a long time saying, well, you know, why shouldn't someone who's unmarried be allowed to be president or whatever? And why are they going after him for being unmarried? They never, ever said the word gay or talked about this as a homophobic attack. And it just told me once again, it's not just them, it's all these news organizations, that they are still uncomfortable with us. They are still scared to talk about it. They will not say that someone is being accused of being gay and that they're trying to discredit them as their elective office.
Well, they do it sometimes for the senior senator from South Carolina, Graham.
Sort of. They talk about him as unmarried also. And I urge you to look for the code words and for whether they're being explicit in their charges.
Well, I mean, Tim Scott's reaping what he sowed. He's so anti-gay. And so that makes gay being even inferred to be gay a slur.
Would think that would beg discussion, you know, that they would talk about when they talk about him as unmarried and don't talk about him as maybe gay, they don't bring in all his anti-gay statements because they haven't said gay. Right. So it cuts off the conversation about what he's really all about. Meanwhile, he has, of course, evoked the ghost of Ronald Reagan and said all the UAW strikers should be fired. For those of you who think that Tim Scott is a kinder, gentler politician, fire them all. And you know who else says that? Nikki Haley.
Right. The in Texas, the wicked Attorney General Ken Paxton, or the impeached Attorney General Ken Paxton, survived a trial in the state Senate, acquitted mostly on party line votes, unlike in the House, which overwhelmingly impeached him with a lot of Republican votes. Paxton's temporary removal didn't make much difference. Governor Abbott just replaced him with another right winger. Paxton is not out of the woods. He was indicted 8 years ago, the wheels of justice turned slowly on security fraud charges, and a trial date is still pending and will most likely take place in Houston.
Well, the feds say they're ramping up the investigation again, but in the midst of all this political fighting over the Hunter Biden indictments, the Trump indictments, it's a little hard to imagine that they aren't going to be a little gun shy about going after Ken Paxton. And Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who sort of quietly presided over the trial in the Senate, then let loose and just unleashed this rant after the trial was over about how dare you go after this guy.
Well, some people say, how dare we go after Kristi Noem in South Dakota? She's a MAGA darling, wants to be vice president. But she was reported this week on heterosexuality, they do report these things, of having been in a years-long clandestine affair with Trump advisor Corey Lewandowski there. Noem has been married to a different man for 30 years, and they have three children. Lewandowski is married to a different woman. Noem has been angling to get on the ticket, as I said, with Trump, who faces 91 criminal felony charges. She is at the forefront of enacting anti-LGBTQ legislation, and she has said she believes marriage is a special bond between a man and a woman, just not that special, apparently. Arizona's Carrie Lake, who also wants to be Trump's running mate, is apparently the source of the story.
Oh, well, there's a surprise.
Noem's husband moved out of the governor's mansion 2 years ago. She still uses him in her ads.
Well, it'll be interesting to investigate the double standard here. If Trump could get nominated repeatedly and elected with all his peccadilloes, will they hold Kristi Noem to the same non-standard and let her go ahead as vice president?
It's an absolute qualification.
Yes. Yes. She's done what she needs to do to be nominated as vice president. And then there's our pal, Lauren Boebert. What a gal. Well, she's a liar. She says she wasn't vaping, and then clouds of smoke are coming out of her mouth. That, to me, is really outrageous.
It was there to see Beetlejuice, yeah.
Yeah. And you can see a child behind her. There are kids all through the theater. And she and her date, who she's now dumped because he's a Democrat, and produces drag shows in his establishment. But they were groping each other. And there is video of him just fondling her breast right there in the theater. And
when she was called on this, she says, "Do you know who I am?" And she tried to deny it. She's a big family values policy.
Yeah, we know who you are, Lauren. We know exactly who you are.
She barely survived re-election the last time. If this doesn't do her in, nothing will.
I think she's in big trouble.
Well, when someone asked her to stop the smoking, the vaping, she said, "You're a sad and miserable person."
And then she admitted it and apologized.
Now, actually, the worst thing she did, of course, was taking pictures during the performance. That's even more boorish. But this is news you will not see on Fox.
Really? Have they not covered it?
I don't know.
It's been everywhere else.
Okay.
I don't think you can say that without documenting that.
All right.
And I understand your offense as a dedicated theater goer, but the vaping is really, really what got to me. All right.
All right. At the let's go to Kansas. This story at the Sterling Library.
Okay.
Two librarians were fired for objecting. Objections were raised to rainbow displays during Pride Month. Now, that would be bad enough, but the rainbow displays, take a look at them, were not actually LGBTQ related. It was a rainbow infinity symbol representing neurodiversity and autism awareness, and a colorful image with a disabled child. But city officials smelled an LGBTQ agenda, and they fired them. So the librarians and two patrons of the library are suing in federal court, asserting that they're entitled to a library that embraces all viewpoints, not just one with an aversion to rainbow colors and a disdain for LGBTQ citizens.
Well, if the Heritage Foundation thinks it can lock up all trans people, God knows what they think they can do to the rainbow.
Oh, it's just insane. I mean, the rain, the rainbow's in the Bible too, you know.
Well, don't get me started on that. More news from Kansas.
Well, before you leave that, this library board also voted to stay out of the 4th of July parade because it included a float from a gay group.
See, this stuff is just, to say it has gone, it has jumped the shark or gone too far or is such an understatement. This is insane. This is truly insane. They truly want, I say this every week I'm here, they want us to disappear. Whether the Heritage Foundation wants to lock us up or school boards want to make us invisible or the Catholic Archdiocese of Cleveland wants to erase us from all their schools, it is a civil war. And we are the fodder for this. They want us gone. They don't want to see us. They don't want to hear about us. They don't want to talk about it. They want us gone.
Well, talk about that other Kansas story that you were about to.
All right. Well, the Secretary of State, Kris Kobach, who has been a thorn in our side for many years in whatever position he manages to hold, has announced no more official gender changes for anybody in Kansas. Gone. Over. The court allowed this, and he is following through and making this a done deal.
I mean, this is absolutely heinous. I mean, and it's so important.
And there are people protesting. We have a picture of someone carrying a sign out there. Queer and trans blood will be on your hands with these laws. Yes, it will.
I will just inform people that if you got your birth certificate changed before this new law was put into effect, it is still valid. But Kobach is also suing to make driver's licenses reflect sex at birth. Can you imagine? I mean, you're going around, you are a woman at this point, and you know, and then you present the license and it says male on it to the police officer, and there you are, and you know, and what kind of confusion is that going to cause?
Well, that's exactly why these changes were created in the first place and are so necessary, because you can then be accused of identity fraud. You can be arrested. You can be prosecuted for
having... I will cash your check. I don't know. I mean, we do have a Democratic governor there. She vetoed all these bills, but she was overridden.
Yes, Laura Kelly.
So the voters of Kansas, they may have upheld the abortion rights, but when they voted, but they vote for all these Republicans. In California, we've told you about lots of statewide laws protecting LGBTQ youth, but there are still right-wing school boards defying those protections. The Temecula Valley School District. Temecula Valley School District kicked off National Suicide Prevention Week by banning more pride flags in schools. Last month, they approved a plan to notify parents if their children identify as trans. And at a very contentious hearing, one man, a Navy veteran, said, taking down a pride flag is telling people they're not wanted. Go into the closet. Be quiet. We don't want to see you, echoing Ann Northrup. The motion passed 3-2. The board also hired a right-wing legal group, Advocates for Faith and Freedom, to defend its ban on critical race theory.
Well, what's so confusing, and certainly confusing, I'm sure, to the citizens of California, is that there are all these conflicting decisions coming down county by county, city by city, judges who are stopping trans bans or book banning or whatever, and other judges who are promoting them. And so where do you end up on all this when it is a complete mess and you can get a different decision in a different district, no matter where you are?
In St. Louis, Washington University is going to stop providing gender medications to minors, citing unacceptable legal liability. So much for the Hippocratic Oath. They say they will refer patients to other providers, even though under the new ban, existing patients were supposed to be able to continue receiving treatment. But the law also allows patients to sue doctors who prescribe these medications to minors. The university says they will continue to provide such care to adult patients and offer mental health support to all ages.
And who gets to sue? A random citizen who doesn't like the idea that trans kids are being supported? And, of course, the ongoing hypocrisy of the right wing that says parents must be in control of their kids' education if they have conservative views and want books banned, but they're not allowed to be in control of their kids' health by making decisions about them getting puberty blockers or other trans gender-affirming care. It's
well, look what happened in California. In California, a Bush-appointed judge sided with two teachers who sued over the policy in the Escondido School District that prevented them from reporting trans and non-binary students to their parents, a policy that is in line with state law. The teachers said it violated their First Amendment rights to free speech and free exercise of their anti-trans religions. They called trans students, they called them gender-confused children. You know, the U.S. Department of Education says that revealing a student's gender identity or expression may compromise a student's safety. But this judge, Benitez, wrote that trans students need parental guidance and possibly mental health intervention to determine if the incongruence is organic or the result of bullying, peer pressure, or fleeting impulse.
Wow. Bigotry in action. And back in our favorite Florida, the Miami-Dade County School Board voted not to recognize October as LGBTQ History Month. That's, you know, countywide, no recognition of History Month, because it's very, very dangerous to tell LGBTQ history.
But a win in American Samoa, a trans woman won a $125,000 lawsuit for harassment from her boss in the Samoan government. Simeonica Tweetlelepaka said her boss would ask her if she was a girl or a boy and told her to take it off and let us see if you were a woman. The boss, Meki Solomona, went on this anti-trans rant for 40 minutes, referring to her as a thing and it, and she tried to transfer it to another location, tried to fire her, and other harassment. Supervisors did nothing, so she got the U.S. Justice Department to take some enforcement action.
That's my favorite part of the story, that DOJ supported her in this and helped her win that settlement. That's excellent. But in other... I'm just seeing whether I'm in order.
Missouri story.
Okay, Missouri. A couple of state senators in Missouri decided to hold a little public event. They were accused of burning books. Here's the thing, flamethrowers. Now, they said afterwards, well, there weren't actually books because it was too expensive for us to buy books. So we just burned some empty boxes. But we do want books burned.
Well, this Bill Igel, one of them, who is running for governor, said he will burn woke pornographic books on the lawn of the governor's mansion if elected. Now, a reminder here, in 1821, the German poet Heine wrote, books are burned, where books are burned, in the end, people will be burned. And that's certainly what happened in Germany. Here's some Nazi youth. Engaging in book burning was a national sport. I'm going to link to a short film on book burning from the U.S. Holocaust Museum. In the U.S., book bans have increased 40% in the last year, and thousands of books have been removed from the shelves.
And not even evaluated yet, just removed from shelves and put in, you should excuse the expression, closets somewhere. Pending review, but they are not getting review. They're just being held off the shelves.
But in Texas, in the this is a district outside of Beaumont, a middle school teacher was fired for reading from an adaptation of, ready for it, The Diary of Anne Frank, a book banned because Anne makes a reference to male and female genitalia in her diary. So That is upsetting to the Blue Noses in Texas. Not that Anne and most of her family were annihilated in the Holocaust, or maybe that too is something that they don't want kids to know about.
And all this goes back to the lack of conversation about any of this between parents and kids or in schools or wherever. If things were talked about more openly, I think we would lower the temperature on all of this. But instead, everyone is just getting on their high horse and was about to mix a lot of metaphors. And
well,
they just are not willing to really talk about any of this.
There is some good news from Florida. Space Coast Pride is going forward this Saturday on the 23rd with a parade at 11 a.m. and a festival from noon to 6 p.m. Now, this is in Melbourne, Florida. 50 groups are expected. It's in the district of a guy named Randy Fine, who convinced the Brevard Board of Supervisors to cancel all cultural development funds, even the Police Hall of Fame, because of the drag event at Space Coast Pride.
And Space Coast, of course, refers to where they've launched all the rockets for years. And a lot of the aerospace companies, including no relation, Northrop Grumman and others, are supporting this event. So it's being supported by some corporate aerospace biggies.
In North Texas, a Christian nationalist group that protests drag shows is suing a group that defends them in Fort Worth. The right-wing New Columbia movement say they were pepper sprayed by the left-wing Elm Fork John Brown Gun Club in a coordinated attack. New Columbia wants the U.S. reborn as a Christian society, and it rejects other religions as false.
All right. I think it's time to talk about Kim Davis, and probably a little quickly, as we don't have all the time in the world. So in Kentucky, a federal judge has ordered clerk Kim Davis, who legendarily refused to give marriage licenses to same-sex couples when same-sex marriage was legal. She has now been ordered to pay $100,000 to the couple, $50,000 to each. And the right wing.
We should say their names. Dave Ermold and David Moore.
Now, the right wing is very excited about this because this means they can appeal this decision and start on a long trip to the Supreme Court of the United States, where they feel they will be able to use this and God knows what else to overturn the Obergefell decision legalizing same-sex marriage. So they're just licking their chops and saying, oh boy, here we go, right up to the Supreme Court. We're going to get this marriage decision overturned on the grounds that it violates the religious freedom clauses of the Constitution.
All right. We have some horrible news and murders to report. The murder of a 41-year-old Nepali trans woman who was incarcerated in California in 2022 has come to light after her parents filed a lawsuit against the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. Kylie Monali was killed by her cellmate on September 7th, 2022. The suit says that she was inappropriately housed with a violent cellmate, a registered sex offender, who beat her for more than an hour before she died. Staff did not conduct routine checks. She's the 41st trans person killed in 2022.
And let me guess, here she is, a trans woman. I'm going to guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this cellmate, the sex offender, was a male, and she was inappropriately housed in as a male in a male prison when she was a trans woman. And if she had been housed appropriately in a female prison, she might not have faced this kind of mortal violence. And as a footnote to this, the trans insurrectionist Jessica Walter, who was convicted, has evidently succeeded in getting Marjorie Taylor Greene to get her transferred from a men's prison to a women's prison.
How is Marjorie going to get reelected doing that?
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for saving a life, Marjorie.
And in Los Angeles, 29-year-old black trans woman Devani Dre Johnson was shot to death on August 7th by a security guard at a grocery store. The guard has not been charged. Devani's family says she was not the aggressor, similar to the shooting death of Banco Brown at a Walgreens in San Francisco. Devani was an artist, born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was homeless at the time of her killing.
And in Calumet City, Indiana, Thomas Tom Tom Robertson, gender nonconforming, 28 years old, just a light in everyone's life, was accidentally shot dead by someone who was trying to shoot someone else. But Thomas is just tragically dead.
And Riley Gaines, the cisgender woman college swimmer who campaigns to keep trans girls out of girls' sports, has formed the Riley Gaines Center at the Right Wing Leadership Institute and is making a pitch online to raise, wait for it, $1.5 million for my upcoming college campus tour. Hell, that's more than Giuliani owes to his lawyers.
Not much. Not much more. All right. Ithaca, New York has declared itself a safe haven for trans people by unanimous vote of the city council. That's good. And in Iowa, on the other hand, they have decided that there is no prescribing of gender affirming care from now on. If you're on it now, you can order drugs from another state. But 23 states now forbid gender-affirming medical care. It's sweeping the nation. And in New York City, they've arrested two more men for vandalism of the pride flags around the Stonewall Inn in June.
They're not posting their mugshots.
Well, they have now arrested three, one from Denver, one from Boston, and one from New York City. That's a long way to travel to do that. And do we, I'm a little reluctant to do this, but Assembly Member Danny O'Donnell here, who got in trouble for a crude remark to a fellow Assembly Member, a female. He didn't like the way she voted on something. And so as she was walking by him, he told her to grow a pair. And she complained about that. So he's now been ordered to have retraining in harassment. Be a little careful with your language.
We could all use some training.
And we all make remarks we're ashamed of. Yeah. All right. International news?
Well, in Canada, the Conservative Party, which is leading in the polls, although the election, I think, is like 2 years away over Justin Trudeau, the delegates there voted overwhelmingly to bar trans kids from receiving gender-affirming care and bar trans women from women-only spaces. So it's you know, this is happening all over Canada and some of the provinces, and it's
happening all over the world.
Yeah.
In Scotland, they've postponed their law against conversion therapy because they're afraid that parents who object to their children's transition could be prosecuted. Seems like a stretch, but they're careful in Scotland.
In the United Kingdom, Ian McKellen gave an interview and he said he fears return of a Thatcher-era anti-gay law banning promotion of homosexuality in schools, laws modeled on Florida's Don't Say Gay law. He also thinks, given the level of acceptance of LGBTQ people that he's seen in the schools, that a government that tries to reverse this will find it difficult. But he said if they do, it will provoke revolution in the streets, if only.
I hope so. But not yet in Turkey, where the schools are now teaching an anti-homosexuality curriculum and how to, you know, avoid gay people.
In Uganda, an ex-gay activist who campaigned for passage of the Kill the Gays bill has been arrested under it. Elisha Mukisa was arraigned alongside the man that he's accused of engaging in homosexual acts with. Now, gay activist Frank Mubisha from Uganda, but can't live there now, said that it's obviously laden with irony, but he hopes that Mukisa will receive due process, unlike what he wished for others.
Be careful what you ask for. Good news. In Belgrade, Serbia, they conducted the Pride March with thousands of people in spite of threats and past violence. Congratulations to Belgrade. And in Kenya, the Supreme Court has upheld its previous decision to allow the National Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission to register as a non-governmental organization. And an LGBTQ organization just got consultative status at the UN during the big meeting this week, too.
AIDS news?
One more. Lebanon. In Beirut, Christian fanatics attacked a drag show in a bar, terrorizing patrons for 40 minutes. Used to be pro-gay in Beirut. Yes, AIDS news.
Well, Florida Governor DeSantis is discouraging getting the new COVID vaccine for anybody under 65. He also pledged this week to install his quack Surgeon General, Dr. Joseph Lodapo, at the CDC if elected. Lodapo has said his anti-vax policies are part of God's plan. What, to decrease the surplus population in Florida? Florida ranks eighth worst in COVID cases, 10th worst in COVID deaths, more than twice the national rate.
I got it in New York State. George Bush has spoken up to defend his PEPFAR program. Now, the weird thing is that PEPFAR has been a source of controversy over the years from the very beginning because the right wing made them pass laws that they couldn't fund agencies that supported abortion. And then that was withdrawn and then it was reinstated and it's gone back and forth. And now the right wing is wants to defund PEPFAR because, again, they are claiming that it is funding agencies that support abortion. That's their argument. Heaven forbid. You know, they want to save those lives, but not the lives of the actually, I think it's 35 million that PEPFAR has saved in Africa. Forget them.
All right. Now that the FDA has new guidance on who can donate blood, opening donation to gay men who have been some gay men who have been barred in the past, the New York Blood Center is actually advertising for LGBTQ donors. As you can see from this poster, a drop of blood as a rainbow flag. They still won't take blood from people on PrEP, however.
Exactly. And there's still a little exclusion period depending on how you're having sex. So it's a little disingenuous, but I guess they're more willing to talk to you about it. Andy Cohen has joined the Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation's HIV is not a crime campaign. Right. Okay, good. I will look forward to seeing more information about that on Watch What Happens Live.
Our friends at Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, are having the annual Broadway Cares flea market and grand auction set for Sunday, October 1st from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in Schubert Alley. That's over there in the Theater District, West 44th and West 45th Street. Lots of stars turn out for it. Lots of memorabilia. It's a fun event.
Entertainment news?
Sure.
I am very excited about the return of the series Sex Education on Netflix. It is so smart and so good and so funny. Gillian Anderson is the mother of a high school student. She's a sex educator, sex therapist. He decides to start his own little sex ed program. This is the fourth and final season. If you haven't seen it, start at the beginning. And it's set in the UK, Andy. You'll love it.
And where do I see this?
Netflix.
I do have Netflix.
Sex Education. Start now.
Oscar-winning gay screenwriter, Taro Alvin McCraney, 42 years old. He won for Oscar for Moonlight. Has been named the artistic director of the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles. He said in the post George Floyd, world, he's seen changes in the arts. He saw friends and colleagues leading institutions, people he looked up to, and he felt selfish sitting on the sidelines. I felt you need to get in there and make a difference. Of course, this is, comes at a time when subscriptions to theaters like the Geffen are way down. So what? They give it to a black guy. It's kind of a tradition.
Look, Moonlight's one of the greatest things I ever saw. If you haven't seen it, I'll recommend that too. So I hope he does great things, and congratulations to him. Absolutely. And congratulations to Lil Nas X, whose documentary film, Lil Nas X, Long Live Montero. He's really bulked up. Look at that. That's him at the Toronto Film Festival.
Is that his body?
What?
It looks like a prop from a Batman film. That's his body. Wow.
That is his body. Now, they delayed the screening for a few minutes because there was a brief bomb threat. But the film was a big hit. No word on when we can see it. But it talks in it about how he helped his little brother, who's bisexual, come out by just making the world safer for him. And about his dad, who was very negative about, you can imagine if Lil Nas X is your son, it might give you a little pause early on. But now his dad goes to gay clubs with him.
That's great. And Maren, how we say her name, Maren Morris, she's a singer, says she's leaving country music because of the industry's history of racism, misogyny, homophobia, and transphobia. She's a longtime LGBTQ ally. The video for her new single, The Tree, is a direct response to Jason Aldean's Try That in a Small Town that featured racist dog whistles and violent imagery. And we will link to her new video in our email. If you'd like to be on our email list, go to our website at gayusatv.org and sign up, and you'll get one email from us a week telling you what's going to be on the show and lots of extras.
And that was the most glamorous picture I could find of Maren Morris. I thought that was quite stunning. If you look at her pictures, she's a little more down to earth than most of them, but that was pretty glam. Now we're looking forward to yet another, Andy, sexy gay men movie on Showtime.
I didn't put up the sexiest picture, but the Fellow Travelers.
Is it a movie or a series?
It's a series. It's an 8-part series. It follows a gay couple, Matt Bomer there and Jonathan Bennett there on the right, from the McCarthy era in Washington when gays were purged, through the 1980s and the AIDS crisis. It bows October 27th on Showtime and Paramount Plus.
Now, I know that this is inappropriate of me, but I feel like we've seen these guys a billion times by now. But then just when I think that about anything, suddenly when I get tired of it, the world sort of explodes with it and gets on board. So I say that just to say what I'm feeling, but I recognize that this could be a big hit and make a difference. Who knows?
We hope so.
You haven't seen any of it, have you?
I have not. I've watched the trailer. Okay. The New Fest, the LGBTQ Film Festival in New York, is October 12th through the 24th, and their opening night show is Rustin, about Byard Rustin, starring Coleman Domingo as Byard, as he organizes the 1963 March in Washington. It doesn't premiere on Netflix until November 17th, so this is the first chance to see it around here.
Well, Netflix always has a great lineup. Not Netflix, New Fest, sorry, COVID brain. And so I urge you to check them out at newfest.org, and you can watch the films online. You don't have to be there in person. So you have options in how you see things. And there's always a lot of new, interesting stuff. One of the funniest little lesbian movies I ever saw, I saw at Newfest. Don't ask me to name it. But it's worth investigating what's there, because it's a very meaty festival.
We will link to that in our email as well. Just go to gayusatv.org. John Waters is now 77 years old, and he finally got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He said, "I'm so respectable I could puke." He said, "I'm now closer to the gutter than ever." Ricky Lake and me.
Yes, that's right.
Huh?
That's right. With a star on the sidewalk, he is literally closer to the gutter than ever.
Ricky Lake and Mink Stoll, two of his stars, were among those cheering him on. He's getting a career retrospective at the Academy of Motion Pictures Museum. John Waters, Pope of Trash, Outfest co-sponsored the unveiling of his star, and he thanked them for thinking I was gay enough to receive it.
Well, the rundown, the description of what's at the Academy Museum in this retrospective is quite extensive. So if you're on the West Coast, you can visit that museum and see a lot of John Waters material over the years.
Right.
Very impressive.
So, Ann, we survived another week. Any more news?
Look, I survived COVID. That's my my big news. You know, I avoided it all this time. You've avoided it. I know a lot of people who've avoided it. It was a surprise to me to get it. I wasn't even sure I had it at first. I got very sick one night. I was away, and I was in Buffalo, of all places. And I thought, what is this? Is this COVID? Is this a bad cold? I just felt really, really rotten. And I finally went to sleep and I woke up feeling better. And I thought, oh, okay. So it's just like a head cold, I guess. And I got back in my car with two riders and drove 7 hours back to New York.
That'll do it.
And tested positive the next morning. Now, the interesting thing is that one of them also had COVID and got sick the night before I did. So I don't know where we got it or whether
it's
we got
around.
It.
And you were saying that you talked to your doctor and he or she said that.
I was the 15th patient of his to report COVID. But the interesting thing is that the third person in the car did not get it. And after spending 7 hours in the car, taking over the driving for a couple of hours and putting her hands on the steering wheel where I had been driving.
No one's wearing a mask.
No masks. And we think the answer is that she had it a few months ago and thus has immunity. Now, we're all vaccinated, but vaccination doesn't necessarily prevent it. It just makes it easier.
Right. I'm getting my seventh shot on Friday and for the new version of the vaccine. And I'm going to get my RSV shot at the same time. Does that sound too risky?
No. Well, who knows with these vaccines? But I've been told not to get the new COVID shot immediately because I have immunity from having had it. And so I should wait a few months. If someone has better information, please let me know.
No, they ask you about that before you go in if you've had COVID lately.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're back, Anne. Rest up.
Me too. And again, thank you to Maren Johns and Chris Cooper, who both did superb jobs filling in. I'm always relaxed and happy to know they're doing it because they do it very well.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.